the most. Or maybe 27 at the least. Let's see. If I hurry, I get it. The shortest service of the week. One of the things that brings you here is you know cotton picking. Well, we ain't staying here all night long. Brother Angelo's going to spit it out. We're going to get it. We're going to believe it. We're going to get a few groceries, and we're going out that door. Just remember, when we go out that door, we are entering the mission field. There are 8.2 billion people in the world today. And what that means is this. It's open season on lost people. It is open season. Oh, I love to win souls. I love when the Spirit comes. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And this first verse is coming out in the King James translation. And we're going to talk about this subject tonight. How many of you can take a glance up there and know what we're going to talk about? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen, Father in heaven, and amen. This is the golden rule. Many years before I got saved, I knew this when I was a kid. Well, where'd you learn? I don't even know where I learned it. But I knew, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I knew that was the golden rule. And I would think about that at times. I wasn't a saved person. I didn't know anything about God. My family, we went to church on Easter, and we went to church on Christmas, whether we needed to or not. I mean, we was big and faithful at that, because we knew right afterwards we was going to eat and get presents and just have fun and everything be cool. That's what we did up there. But I want to share a message with you tonight, and my thought is this: going beyond the golden rule. There is a clear cut beyond the golden rule. The golden rule is the beginning of how people should be treating each other. And it goes farther than that. And in just two more places in the Word, I'm going to put you on track of that. Okay, let's go beyond right now. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 27. That's going to come up in the NLT, the New Living Translation of the Bible, which is wonderful. You know what? You should love the Bible. Listen to me. Everybody look at me for just a minute. You should love the Bible enough. You should love the Word of God enough that you have a favorite translation of the Word. You know, Kelly does. I do. Nana does. Yes. And I hope you do. And you know what? There should be things that you should be thinking about that really ain't clear in the Bible, but at least you've got an idea about it yourself. Because you care that much about the Word, and you're fascinated by the Word of God. Well, if the Word of God can make you rich and pretty, for goodness sake, what's wrong with that? If the Word of God can help you and you can talk to Him, we say every Wednesday morning, I said, how many of you believe that God answers prayer? If you believe, if you've got two things, if you believe that and you have a need, put your hand up. And they put their hand up. See, I believe that. And you know what else I believe? Every answered prayer, if you study it, is a miracle. It is a form of miracle. Because you are talking to the Creator of the world and making petitions to the Creator. And He's saying, I'll do that. And He's saying, not only that, I'll show you that I'm going to do that. And He answers your prayer. How many of you here, we're not trying to hype up, we're just trying to get the truth. How many of you here know that you know that you know that God has answered some of your prayers? Amen. Amen. See, that's what I'm talking about. Now look it. There are some prayers they didn't get answered. I've went and been called long way off to pray for people that was dying, and they died. What happened, Brother Angelo? Well, you know, I kind of feel like I prayed the same prayer of faith. Something happened. I don't know what happened. But you know what? I think we have to realize we don't know everything. And I think after that, you got to realize God knows everything. And you got to understand sometimes if we'll seek him, he'll give us answers to why this and why that. But sometimes, listen to me now, sometimes he won't tell you. When Jesus was on this earth, this is what he told. He said, you know, he was talking about end time events. And he said this. Now, I don't know. I don't know when all of these things are going to take place. He said, the only one that knows this is my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sins of the world, stood on earth and said, there's some things I don't know. Why? Because he didn't tell me. I said, but my Father knows. Glory, my Father knows. And see, sometimes it is not in the cards for God to tell you every little thing he's going to do. It just isn't. And that part there where the cards is over here and you're over here, the place in between, that's called your faith walk. That's walking by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what we believe. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by what we believe. And I believe and declare that God has a say-so in everything that you turn over to him. I believe some people are called to be martyrs. They are called to be martyrs. I put a post up last week out of the book of Revelation. The fifth seal talks about the opening of the fifth seal. And when that seal is opened, John the Revelator saw heaven and he saw the altar. And under the altar were the souls of those, the martyrs, who had been slain, and this is what they were saying. How long, O God, before you avenge our blood? We're in that season, I believe. Well, when's he coming back? I don't know. I don't mind telling you, I don't know. Jesus didn't know, but I know somebody that knows. Whoo, glory. Somebody wrote on there. I don't know how they got to be on my friend list. They said, Charlie Kirk was not a martyr. Well, who were they? I took their name off of my, I blocked them everywhere I knew how. And Kelly had written, yes, they were. And she put that, look here. We can't afford the luxury of being mean to anybody, but we also cannot afford the luxury of being around doubt and unbelief. Not if you want to make God happy, because you can't make God happy by being holy. We've done missed out. As Billy Graham said over and over again, if you've committed one of sin against one of the Ten Commandments and you only did it one time, you were guilty of all. The only way that you can come into the presence of God is saying, you're God, and I believe you can do what you said you can do. And that's accounted as righteousness. For it says in the book of Genesis, Abraham, God said to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have a son. He was old. Now, Sarah laughed about that. And God didn't ask Sarah. God asked Abraham. Why was she laughing? Well, he didn't want to have to front her out. You know what I mean? But I'm going to tell you something. God didn't laugh at him. God believed him. And the word says that belief in what God said was accounted to him as righteousness. The only righteousness, the young fella, you're just getting started. You ain't going to get holy enough. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if you can make yourself believe the promises of God, that's going to be accounted as righteousness to you. That's how we can be righteous. That's the way God will accept us. That's what God wants to do with us. But to you who are willing to listen, I say to you, and now we're going beyond the golden rule. Kelly talks about this. Love your enemies. And anybody that tells me how easy that is, you ain't tried. You kidding. I got some people. Donald Trump said this the other night. He said, Charlie Kirk termed me Mr. President. We've got to love these people. And right on TV, Donald Trump said, but you know what? My enemies, he said, I hate them. He said it right on TV. Everybody stood up and clapped for him. Was he right? No. I would have took a shot at Donald Trump, too, and said, well, now, Mr. President, you remember Charlie Kirk? I have to agree with him. Because the word says right here, but to you who are willing, see, what are you willing to do to grow? I'm not asking you to make a commitment that you'll never make a sin again. But this is, to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. We serve people here. There are people that literally hate us, and you won't know who they are because we won't tell you. Our lips are sealed, but God knows all about it. Chiefly my daughter. She's on the front line. People just take pot shots at her, and they'll come and get them groceries and take them pot shots and do this and say that. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Now, this is the real gospel. This is the one you want to have. The one where you don't know everything and you ain't claiming that you never did a sin. Pray for those who hurt you. And if someone slaps you on one cheek, now listen, what if he means this? I think he does. I think if you can do this, you get great power. Like if you're playing a video game and you just open up the right little diddly boober, and all of a sudden you got extra power. You go to loving your enemies the way that God said to love your enemies, you're going to gain some of that power. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, your outer garment, offer your inner garment, your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Now, we've got more verses. Could you all put the rest of them verses up there? Do to others as you would like them to do to you. See, there's the golden rule is in there. But there's a little bit more to it. What God, he said, now, everybody listen. Children, listen to me. Children, this is what I really mean by that. I want you to love people that's giving you crapola right in front of me and everybody else. I want people that'll take your groceries in 1 minute and say, well, just love them people. Give them extra. I've seen her give them extra. Why? Because that's what I taught her to do. Let's go a little further, okay? And what if you love only those who love you, you're only waving at the people that wave to you. See, there's a guy I meet regularly, about 3 or 4 times a week. I'm on my side-by-side, and he's on his. I don't even know who he is for sure, but I'll wave at him. He won't even look at me. And the other day, I was saying, you know what? I'm not waving at that dude anymore. For God's sake, what? Is he better than me? And the Lord said, well, Angelo, it's going to be kind of hard for you to I got another message for you to preach, and I think you need to just keep waving for a while and see how you feel after you start preaching this to folks. And I'm seeing right now, let me tell you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, listen, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting like children of the Most High. For he is kind, listen to this, he is kind to those who are thankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Now, y'all might have an easy time with this. When I see people messing with my family, my kids, and y'all are the closest family to me, not my blood, you, it makes me want to hurt people. Why? I'll sing you a song, why. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. And sometimes I think I'm getting worse sometimes. I got to get a hold of myself. I've come here tonight to slam myself down at the altar and get a hold of myself, because people's uglier than they've ever been. More willing to. Okay. I'm preaching a message or teaching a word beyond the golden rule. How many of you would say, yeah, that's about where we're at right now. We're a little bit beyond the golden rule, ain't we? Amen. One last place. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. Three more verses. Boy, we've done a lot. We've praised and worshiped. We've had an altar service where almost everybody responded. And you know what? If it had only been one, that would have been good enough for me and God. But you know what? If there hadn't been any, God would have been proud of me for sharing it anyway. See? So in the book of Romans chapter 12, last place, I want you to see this with me. And then we're going to talk about this for a moment. We're going to take communion. Romans 12, starting at verse 19. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture saying, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. There are people that I thought were the world's worst, but you know what? A few days went by, and I began to realize, my God, they wasn't that bad. I just misunderstood them. Let me ask you something. Is there a chance that sometimes you misunderstand people a little bit? Yeah. That's how come, as God told the prophet Samuel, man looks at the outward appearance, but I look upon the heart. See, only God can fully see a heart. Maybe we ought to take it, wait a minute now, and check it out. And if there's any vengeance, the word says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And he said, don't kid yourself. I will repay. I've seen him repay. I don't want him to have to repay me, but there's sometimes he's had to get a hold of me now. And I'll tell you what, it worked. Instead, now this is this church. This is this pastor. This is this time, right? This is the people in this church. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. You know what? That's what we do. That's what we do. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And you know what? Shame is one step away from repentance. If you can just feel bad about the crummy things you're doing, there's a slight chance you're going to stop doing some of it for a while. Amen? I like this here. I like what it says in the King James. It says, don't be overcome by evil. I see. That's what I see. Christians overcome by evil. Overcome. The devil just knew and somehow he was able to, and they're overcome. Some people are overcome. Good people, loving people. Most of the time, it's only temporary. It says, do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. What did you expect for him to say to you and me? What else could he say? He's trying to get us ready. And you know what? He doesn't apologize because it ain't easy. And if you've tried like I have, it ain't easy. It's just right. Like Tom Hanks said to Gina Davis in the movie A League of Their Own, she said, "Coach, it just got too hard. That's why I'm quitting." He said, "Of course it's hard. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it." Doesn't that fit right about here? You know why I preach this message to you? Because I knew in my heart you would receive it. I knew you'd receive it. And if y'all do what I tell you, we might get out of here 2 or 3 minutes early. Now, some of you may not, make an altar. I'm going to the front here. Some of you may not be able to